Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear, backed by above-and-beyond expertise. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch big games from the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports.
And remember that Off the Ball football on Saturday is brought to you by Sky. Don't miss Nottingham Forest versus Leicester City in the FA Cup this Sunday, live only on Premier Sports. You can text us 53106, tweet us at Off the Ball. We're streaming the conversation as well. Listen on News Talk. Watch us on the digital and social channels for Off the Ball. For Periscope on Twitter, at Off the Ball, YouTube, Facebook, and on the OTB Sports app. Search OTB Sports in your app store to download it if you haven't already. Delighted to be joined on the line by the former Republic of Ireland international and European Cup winner with Liverpool, Mark Lawrenson, the UEFA Pro Licence coach, Shane Keegan, and the ex-League of Ireland and FAI Cup winner Graeme Gartland to talk about the beautiful game. Laura, we will start with Kidderminster. Oh, disaster. They lost 2-1. Declan Rice injury time equaliser for West Ham. Mm-hmm. And then Jared Bowen has just scored at the end of extra time.
Do you know what? It was a great, great cup tie. And when you factor in last night at Old Trafford with Middlesbrough as well, and I think have Chelsea gone through, they've probably gone through.
Yeah, 2-1, yeah, time, against Plymouth.
Themselves, so... What a good advert for the FA Cup. We thought it was dead and buried, but certainly not. Kidderminster played brilliantly. They absolutely, totally did. Just really, really unfortunate. Declan's goal was just an absolute piece of class. Declan Rice's goal to just obviously take it through then to extra time, and they scored so late again. But that probably tells you the difference, John, you know, in terms of concentration of defenders in a lower league, fitness, and those kind of things. Just at the two very key vital moments, they were just found wanting. But they were brilliant, honestly. The Kidderminster, fabulous.
Your mate Moisey's got away with it.
Yeah, I was watching them. I was just about to text him, and I thought, no, I better leave it for a while. yeah, you can imagine the reply I would get. Listen, they're through. That's all that he's bothered about. He's been in cup upsets himself anyway. One thing that happened with West Ham, though, is they were poor for large amounts of the time. But when it counted, they started to play. But this Declan Rice boy is some player, by the way.
He'll be on the move. He'll be on the move, won't he, Laura?
Well, you know, quite possibly. I mean, he might even get 100 million quid for him, which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, for a kind of a holding defensive midfield player. But, yeah, he'll go somewhere big, or bigger, I should say, certainly. And I'm sure I'll get a text from Moyes now if he knows I've said that about him.
Shane Keegan, he's done the Gary Neville interview this week, so already he's put himself in the shop window. Possibly.
Yeah, it's a buddy. Yeah, he has. No, I saw a clip of it online, John, and look, I don't think he'd be any Irishman's favourite cup of tea, I suppose, so he wouldn't. And in this clip with Gary Neville, he kept calling Gary Neville dog, and that was enough for me. I couldn't subject myself to the full thing from there, so I couldn't, to be honest with you.
Some goals already in the FA Cup. Man City won, Fulham won. So Fabio Carvalho for Fulham, equaliser from Ilkay Gundogan. So 1-1 inside the first 10 minutes at the Etihad. And also 1-0 for Crystal Palace against Hartlepool, with Mark Gahey scoring for the Eagles there. So lots of matches going on. Everton, Brentford, goalless. Huddersfield, Barnsley goalless. Peterborough, QPR goalless. Southampton, Coventry goalless. Stoke against Wigan is goalless as well, and also kicked off between Wolves and Norwich in the FA Cup fourth round. Cambridge against Luton later, and Spurs Brighton this evening. Graeme Gartland, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, good, Graeme. And I suppose there's a few things. We'll get to Roy Keane in a moment, but I suppose even the more recent news before Roy, if he gets that job at Sunderland or not, was Anthony Barry leaving the Republic of Ireland set up, going to be a coach now under Roberto Martinez at Belgium. I think it's a significant blow, because it seemed to be, from reading between all the lines, the players seem to love this guy as a coach.
Yeah, it's a big blow for Ireland, considering like how well he was thought of. Obviously, the upturn and how Ireland started playing when he came in as well, there seemed to be sort of a turnaround in their performances, which was quite noticeable with him coming in. The way the players speak of him is telling, that they rave about him. They speak really highly of him. The fact that Frank Lampard tried to take him to Everton as well means that a lot of people are thinking really highly of him. The fact Martinez then goes and headhunts him and takes him as well. So he's obviously a really top-class coach. To lose your two assistant managers, your first-team coaches in the first 2 years you're reigning under Stephen Kenny.
Damien Duff being the other one.
Damien Duff obviously leaving as well. It was really tough for Stephen, especially with the impact that Anthony Barry has made. So it is a big blow for Ireland. I know that they were looking at Lee Carsley before that as well, and Lee's really well thought of over there, and especially with the FA in England. So it'll be interesting to see who they get in to replace him, because I do think it's a big, big loss.
Does it inject pressure now back into the conversation with Stephen Kenny, because he's got to find someone as good as Anthony Barry?
I think you're always under pressure when you're in the job with Ireland, and especially with the results that he's had, he's going to be under pressure. The right appointment is important, because when you lose somebody as influential as Anthony Barry, you're going to have to replace him with somebody that can fill that void, and that's where it does. There's always pressure on him, but there's probably extra pressure on this appointment, considering, like you said, he's gone through Damien and then he's gone to Anthony, and they've both left now. So it's a tough decision for Stephen to who he gets in, but I'm sure Shane probably has dealings with Stephen, and he'd understand a little bit of how well he thought of Anthony Barry. So be interesting to see what he thinks.
And Rory Higgins as well, the Chiefs got leaving to go to Derry in the last while. Shane Keegan, who's out there? First of all, Anthony Barry's departure, the significance of that. I remember talking about set pieces. I know you've done a lot of tactical analysis on Anthony Barry, and obviously Tuchel rates him, and if Tuchel's keeping him, that's a positive for him. But Belgium, it's a World Cup year. Look, they're in the World Cup. They're the top-ranked team in the world, possibly an underachieving team in international football, given the talent that they've had. But first of all, Barry's departure, and secondly, are there, you know, candidates just on a list that Stephen Kenny can go for?
Oh, look, it's an absolute killer, John, to lose him. There's no way, other way of putting it. It really, really is. You know, as Graham has said there, you know, you hear the players rave about him. I would have, you know, in the last couple of months just had one conversation with Stephen where his name came up. And again, you know, without going into specifics, he was just raving about the detail and how thorough the guy is. And, you know, he's 24/7 football. He really, really is. And it's annoying, John, that I suppose, I don't know the ins and outs of all the contract situations, but how we put ourselves in a position where, like, there's such a dearth of really top class talent out there that if you've got one at your disposal, surely you do more to make sure you don't lose him. How do you tie him down? How do you make sure that you secure this asset long term? Look, that might be easier said than done, but it's a real killer that he can, you know, just up and leave and walk away. And you can't blame him. It's a fantastic opportunity for him. I wouldn't point a finger at him whatsoever. But just a really detailed guy, as you say, like those, the set piece analysis. I think he did his pro license thesis, or maybe it was even an academic thesis. I'm not 100% sure on set pieces. I know doing the bit for the 42.ie I did an analysis on Liverpool-Chelsea earlier in the season, and Chelsea scored a set piece in that game, and we rolled out the exact same set piece for Ireland a month or two later, and again we scored from it, you know. So he's obviously got some really good ideas in that sense. Who replaces him? I don't know. I really, really don't know. I had Lee on the podcast that I do for the lads, and he was brilliant. And actually, it was Stephen that sent me in Lee's direction when I was on to Stephen about the podcast, and he said, "Look, you should get Lee on it. He's really, really top class." So he obviously rates him highly. But there's no way we're going to be able to pull Lee Carsley away from the kind of deal that he's on with English FA at the moment, I'd imagine. So it's back to the drawing board. I'd be at a loss to throw any names at you off the bat in terms of who we can bring in, John. I just look, Stephen's obviously a very, very, very clued in guy. He's going to have to really, really cast the net out. He managed to pull a brilliant one off and getting Anthony Barry in the first place. Maybe he's got another trick up his sleeve to find an equally good replacement.
How destabilising, yeah. Laura, how destabilising is to lose a coach like this?
Oh, it's destabilising, but I'm listening to this and I'm coming to the conclusion that there was no buyout in his contract, was there not? He's just walked away.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there was a contract because,
I'd imagine a new contract, but I wouldn't think there's a lot left. Yeah, I wouldn't think there's a lot of time left to run on it, which means I'd imagine, you know, paying off the remainder of the contract or whatever they would have had to do. I don't know. Look, Dan would probably be well clued in on that. It'd be interesting to keep an eye on what pieces come over it, you know.
Yeah. Has that happened to you, Laura, when you've lost coaches that were so well regarded?
No. In a word, no. I mean, the thing is, at Liverpool, it was just a succession, wasn't it? And they would You know, like as soon as I got there, Roy Evans was in charge of the reserves, and it was just a given that at some stage he'd come through to the first team, along with when Paisley went and Joe Fagan got the job, they all moved up one. That's Ronnie Moran as well. So Roy became one of the coaches, and then obviously in the end he became one of the managers. But I'm just thinking of all the other teams. No, I've never ever had that before, in all honesty.
When you think of what Mark said there about the FAI, like Robbie Keane is still under contract and Anthony Barry is out of contract, and Anthony's the one that gets taken away to Belgium. You're thinking, how have the FAI allowed this to happen? It's a pretty good question to ask, because you're like, why have they allowed the people who are that well thought of in the industry and all the players are talking about and to then run out of contract that he can walk away for nothing and the FAI don't get any compensation for him? It's a ridiculous scenario to find yourselves in as an organisation, that you're not protecting your best assets, whether that's coaches. I know you can't protect players because obviously there's no buyouts in players in the international level, but in terms of your coaches, like, it's really
maybe there's nothing they could do though. It's Belgium without a World Cup.
Yeah, but you can still, if he's under contract, they still have to pay a certain amount to get him out. You can't just take somebody if they're under contract.
Look, the other thing, John, would soften the blow in bringing the new guy in, would it not? If he'd been under contract, if €100,000, you know, at least if you're going to go and try and get a Lee Carsley, then you can offer him a better package, because you've got that money from Anthony Barry leaving, and it might just swing the balance.
Shane, you want to come in there?
Yeah, look, John, it should be absolutely no different than with a player at club level. If you've got a quality player, let's take a look at the Salah situation at Liverpool at the moment. If you've got a quality player who's rated really highly and you need him to be part of your future, what's the first thing you do when he gets to 18 months or so out from the end of his contract? You get a new contract in place so he's tied down going beyond the end of that. You never let a contract get to 6, 12 months to its end, because it's too easy to pay it off then at that stage. You need to be keeping 18 months ahead of yourself and tying your quality down, you know.
Well, Stephen Kenny, it hasn't signed his contract yet. Like, it was offered by the FAI. I think they're sorting it out. I don't think there's an issue of Stephen Kenny and all that, but it hasn't been done. Whatever reason, you know, it was offered. It hasn't still happened. Should the whole team, Stephen Kenny, everybody else, been offered the contract at the moment though, that World Cup qualification campaign ended, Shane?
Yeah, look, obviously, Anthony Barry's, you know, contract situation is a knock-on of Stephen's. I was about to say nobody gets a longer contract than their manager, and then I remembered the situation we've created with Robbie, so that's not quite true. But
in the previous regime, I would say, and in the previous regime.
Yeah. But normally, obviously, the backroom staff is all dependent on, you know, what the manager's situation is, which is the case in this scenario. And yeah, Anthony Barry's contract situation is obviously a knock-on effect of Stephen, where Stephen's is at, and that, you know, I think most people would be inclined to say that hasn't been handled superbly.
Well, the other thing, John, as well, was he always a good coach, or has he basically got better with the team? And if he's got better with the team, and, you know, the manager must surely go to the guys at the FAI and say, look, we've got a gem here, an absolute gem. We need to sort him out, get him a proper contract, and also look after ourselves. So I'm not blaming Stephen at all, but it sounds like that's never happened either.
But is it not a result, folks, of the fact that there isn't a 100% support for Stephen in the job?
Yeah, you're right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Uncertainty, isn't it? That's what happens.
Well, uncertainty creates conditions where you have then a highly respected coach leaving. Now, whether it would have made any difference or not, who knows? Belgium, as we said, are going to the World Cup, Ireland or not. But it's all about, have you done every single thing that you could have along the way to make sure that even if Belgium do call, we're putting ourselves in the best position? I suppose that's the question we're asking here.
This game's hard enough, John, without slipping up with stuff like that, surely.
Yeah. Roy Keane, Laro. Should he take the job at Sunderland if he's offered it? He's been in talks.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I think my only worry would be, I don't know if it's the chief executive or the owner at Sunderland. He might be one and the same person. Seems a bit flaky. I mean, obviously, previous manager Lee Johnson, he got, what was he? They got beat 7-0, didn't they, somewhere?
6-0, yeah.
6-0, sorry. But he'd just taken two or three players in as well, hadn't he? Which obviously the owner had agreed to take them, and all of a sudden he fires him out. And, you know, that they I think they'll come up. And I just think it's a great position for somebody to go and take that job now. And he's still very well liked on Weir side, Roy. And I think, you know, you can be a pundit all your life and that, but I just get that there's something in him that he wants to have another go. I think he just feels that maybe, and he was successful at Sunderland at first, wasn't he? He got the promotion.
Yeah, in 07, right? Yeah, in 07. First season.
And then they stayed in the Premier League, didn't they?
Yeah, he was 18th when he quit in December 2008, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's not a case like, you know, you're appointing Benitez or somebody like that. So straight away, if his local paper says, Roy Keane, we're going to sign Roy Keane, I mean, the whole of Wearside would absolutely love that. The players would like it as well. And he will have mellowed from when he first started, because, you know, you do learn by your mistakes in that job. You probably learn more about football through your mistakes than actually being successful. So if I were him, I'd take it. And I think, you know, Sunderland are the kind of place, and we've said this for a long time, you know, but once it ignites and you can attract players, they could go through the Championship, because the Championship this year is unbelievably ordinary, if of course they get the promotion. So if you're looking at it, I would go and take it. But what's he got to lose? Because the worst thing that happens, if it doesn't work for him, he'll still be a pundit because everybody likes to watch him.
Is he out of management too long, Shane?
I'll tell you, I'd love to see him back in, that's for sure, because it would be really, really, just be so interesting, John, to see, has he got the capability to learn from previous mistakes? I mean, he has spoken at times that, you know, he does believe the modern game has changed and that he would need to change, but he's just such a strong character and, you know, our perception of him, you'd wonder, is he capable of change? Will his personality allow him to change? He doesn't strike me as a guy who would be sitting down and writing down a list of the 10 things he did wrong the last time and making sure he didn't do them again. Maybe he has, I don't know. But I would have thought he'd be, you know, very, very strong in his own opinions. I've heard him at times kind of partly say that he might have made an error here or there before then kind of actually pointing the finger of blame at a player instead or something like that. But I think it would be tremendous entertainment value to see how he'd get on with another crack. And it's a no-brainer that he has to take it. I mean, they're in a really, really good position in terms of him coming in there and having a real, real impact on the club. He could absolutely get him up straight away. And, like, the impact he had first time around when he took over was incredible. I think he took him over near relegation zone and got him straight up, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He did, yeah. Yeah. That's correct. It's now or never.
Yeah,
I do feel it. I do feel he... Yeah, there's nobody else really sniffing around him too much. I know he said he's on the interview done with Gary Neville that he had a couple of meetings with clubs and chairmen and it probably wasn't the right fit. He probably feels he has unfinished business at Sunderland as well, because obviously the new owners came in at the time and upset how he was running things, and that's why he left the first time. So he's obviously well thought of up there as well. He has a good affinity to the club, so he's probably going to have a go at it. And like Laura said, he's falling back into Sky if it doesn't work out, because like everybody likes listening to him on a Super Sunday and the punditry does. So the way the modern game is as well, he will have to change on certain things, and you might just need to, sometimes you need to promote players to get the best out of them and do what you can. And I'm not sure if that's something that sits well with Keane, having seen him on TV and the way he talks. I don't think he'd be willing to say things just to get performance out of a player, but sometimes you just have to do that. And if you have to be ruthless with them, you do it after they've probably got you promoted or played, got you up a division, and then you might go, right, I'm not having you, move him on then. But like I said to you, he's box office, isn't he, when it comes to things like that, and he'll increase the interest in League One. All of a sudden that will go through the roof as well. So it is now or never for him, and it'd be good to see him back in, because like you said, he's an interesting watch.
Andrew Conway,
just
one sec, folks. Andrew Conway scored a try for Ireland and has been converted by Johnny Sexton. 17 points to nil now, 2 tries on the board against Wales, 45 minutes into the Six Nations game at Lansdowne Road. We got also Scotland and England at Murrayfield from 4:45. I'm just pulling up the Irish Gold Cup, but there's been a 20-1 winner, an outsider coming in on that. So we'll come back to you in a moment about that one. Laro, there, you want to come in there on Roy Keane?
Yeah, no, I think I think if he does take the job, Roy, I think he probably would need with him now a father figure. Someone who'll just maybe say to him, not agree with him all the time, and just put things across to him, like, you know, you're really sure about doing that or whatever, and have somebody in the office with him as well when players come in, because basically you can't brutalise players anymore. You've got to be very, very, very careful, because they'll go away and cry to their agents and stuff like that. So I would to see somebody in there with him who's been there, seen it, done it, and gives him something else to think of at times.
Who do you think could do it for him? Sorry, who do you think could do that role for him? Like, who do you think he'd sort of listen to?
This is a bit left field. Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, yeah.
But does Roy not want to be his own man now? That's the whole point of Roy now, being back to number one.
But he can still be his own man, can't he? But, you know, Martin's a very, very clever guy. And he's really, really good with people. And they've obviously got a really good relationship. It doesn't really matter that it's Flip. Martin's not the kind of person who, like, wants to boot Roy out and take the job. And I would imagine he would absolutely love it. And he's really, really good with people, Martin O'Neill. And, with Roy, I think it would be a really, really good partnership.
I was actually going to come at it from the other side, similar-ish point to Laura, but I was actually going to say, I think Roy, the really, really big thing would be who Roy brought in as a coach. Graham's been there, obviously. The guy who's number two to Roy Keane, I think, would have to be yin to his yang. You know, I think he needs to be the on the training ground sort of fella. He needs to be the one that the players get their energy from and feed off and kind of have their day-to-day communication with, because I think Roy needs to be a bit more sporadic in terms of his communication.
Yeah. I think it's a fair... You can have all three.
Yeah, I think you need it. You see what Lampard's done with Everton, where I think he's brought in a lot more of his own staff than he probably did at Chelsea at the time. I think he only brought in Jody Morris, where at Chelsea, you see him, he's brought in Clement, he's brought Ashley Cole in, he's brought another coach in from Chelsea. He's brought in a bigger team around him this time to make sure that he has a lot more voices and bodies around the group that are his and that he can trust rather than
I think Paul Clement's a good selection, really seriously do.
And then obviously Ashley Cole and Duncan Ferguson is still there, so there's a bigger pool of staff there, and I think that's the way the game is. Listen, you see Man City and they roll out 30 staff whenever they win a game, and you're like, I don't know, how do you have that many staff? But you can see that that's where it's going, that you have, well, he's the voice behind it. But I think if Roy had that sort of staff where he has four or five people.
Look at Gerrard. Gerrard has completely, Michael Beale and all McAllister and all the people. And you can see with Aston Villa, there's a whole big team around him now. Obviously, this is League One, but like, that's why I was asked the question, Shane, about, 10 years out of the game, have things changed? Have players changed, as Laura says? Are they a bit more too much in cotton wool now? Yeah. The scouting systems, what are they like at Sunderland? You know, all those kind of like metrics that you need to have around you need to be detailed and in depth.
Oh, changed massively, John. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the question here is that I suppose though detractors of Roy would say that he was a bit outdated for the game the last time around, and that's maybe where things fell down for him, was that he wasn't moving with the modern game. And now we're fast forwarding how many years later, so those questions then get amplified even more. But I just think there would be tremendous value in finding the answers to those questions. Maybe he'd prove us all wrong. Not that I'm saying he definitely couldn't be a success, but I think there would be huge question marks if he came in.
Conflated at 18-1 has won the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup at the Dublin Racing Festival, the Grade One. So Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell had success with Galvin at Christmas in the Savills Chase. They've done it again with Conflated in that Irish Gold Cup, beating the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner of last year, Manila Indo, second at a price of 11-2, with Janet Deal third at 7-1. Asterion Forlange was fourth, the 5-2 favourite. Earlier in the day, a hat trick for Willie Mullins, Blue Lord in the Arkle, Vauban in the juvenile hurdle, and also in the novice hurdle of over 2.6 miles, Manila Cocooner at a price of 11-1. So that's the Dublin Racing Festival update. Ireland 17, Wales 0 in the Six Nations. 49 minutes in the watch. Tries for Bundee Aki and Andrew Conway, and the rest kicked by Johnny Sexton. And Ireland looking pretty good to get not only the win, but possibly a bonus point if they can finish it off over the next while. Listeners out there, 5-3-1-0-6. Anything you want to say about Roy Keane or Frank Lampard or Aubameyang leaving or Man United losing last night? We'll be back with Graeme Gartland, Shane Keegan and Laro after this.
Andy Farrell, are you watching?
Sport is so thick.
Excuse me? That's a bit offensive to us because we're Welsh. You could just keep your own opinion to yourself.
The Six Nations on OTB. Subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. All the football you love in one place. Across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
And welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. We're going to break away from the football conversation for a moment to get a latest from Ireland against Wales in the Six Nations, and Ireland leading this one. Andy Dunn.
Well, Ireland just camped in on the Welsh line. It's the 51st minute, and it looks like a beautiful try. And Andrew Conway in the right hand corner to make it 22-0 to Ireland in the 50th minute. It took 3 minutes to score in the first half, it took 3 minutes in the second half. When Ireland initially had a line out in the opposition 22, they were dominant for territory and possession again in those early periods, and a scything midfield break by Sexton and a flick ball back inside open space for Ireland. Ball came back to Sexton when it was recycled, and he threw a wide looping pass to Conway, who caught it on his knees, managed to stand up and scurry in the corner with a brilliant finish. That was the first try of the second half. Ireland then still maintained possession and territory for the better part of the next 10 minutes and have just scored in the corner again from brilliant combination plays for the last kind of minute or two. They're gone 22-0 up in the 52nd minute. Sexton to convert.
And a bad knock for Johnny Sexton and a yellow card there for a Welsh player, Andy.
Sexton is a tough, resilient man, as we're aware, but it was quite a cynical challenge. It was a chip through by the Welsh scrum half Williams for Josh Adams. Josh Adams really abandoned any sense of looking for the ball and just full on shoulder charge checked Sexton to the chest, neck, chin area. It looked like kind of a whiplash incident. He probably got lucky. If he'd have been an inch higher, he'd have got a straight red, but he's got yellow. Sexton took a while to recover, and he's back on his feet, which is great to see.
Okay, Andy Dunn with the latest there from the Viva Stadium as Johnny Sexton prepares to take this conversion. 52 minutes on the watch, full house, just brilliant to see you. The Six Nations back today, Ireland 22, Wales 0, 3 tries on the board. One more try, we'll get that bonus point in the opening day. Johnny Sexton kicks it. Oh, kind of like a golf shot. It's like a fade there from Johnny Sexton, and he puts it over the bar, 24 points to nil. Ireland lead in the Six Nations. 2 tries for Andrew Conway, as Andy Dunn was saying there, and 1 for Bundee Aki. Laro, Graeme Gartland and Shane Keegan with us until 5 on Football Saturday here. The FA Cup scores. Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1. Result after extra time. Kidderminster, who were leading West Ham 1-0, lost 2-1 in the end. Late goals, first of all, Declan Rice scored in injury time, and then Jared Bowen scored at the end of extra time, so the Hammers threw to round 5. Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0 is the latest score. That is from Selhurst Park, with Guehi and Olise scoring for the Eagles. Everton 1, Brentford 0. The revolution's begun on Merseyside. Frank Lampard, Yerry Mina with the goal. So that's an interesting development at the All Premier League Times. Looking through the team here, Seamus Coleman is playing as a wing back today for Everton. We have also got scores from elsewhere. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0. Man City 2, Fulham 1. So John Stones has scored the second goal for City. They lead Fulham there now in the FA Cup fourth round. Peterborough 1, QPR 0. It is Southampton 0, Coventry 1. So the Premier League side behind there. Stoke 1, Wigan 0. And Wolves 0, Norwich 0 as they had a score. Does it matter, Laro, for United that they're out of the FA Cup?
Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does, because it just turns the pressure up on them. And also the fact that they haven't really played a full 90 minutes well under Ranić so far, which is very, very strange. And, you know, when I say problems in inverted commas, because the fourth in the Premier League, they've still got problems. And it's just like... I don't think they know what the best team is. I don't think they know tactically as well, which also helps to provide the best team. And they're still a little bit of an enigma for me, John. So it certainly does not help. Being interesting to see what the Americans think of it, the owners. But I suppose from their point of view, as long as they're in the Champions League, they probably don't really matter.
Ronaldo's 37 today, Laro. I still feel he's not part of the solution there. He scores all the goals. Obviously, he's a world-class player for forever, but is he just the wrong player at the wrong time?
Well, where would they be without those goals, John? But
yeah.
I get you. And, you know, football's strange in many, many ways. I mean, he doesn't work that hard. He works that hard in the box in terms of getting the chances. But, you know, if you're in that team with him and he's scoring every week, actually, you don't bother. Because you just think, if he keeps scoring, if we've got to work a little bit harder as the other nine outfield players, you do it. But I don't know. It just sounds to me like the dressing room isn't right. And I'm not saying, you know, half are pulling one way and the other half are pulling another way. There's just something about that dressing room. And I thought somebody like Harry Maguire, whatever you think about him as a player, I just thought he would have that dressing room, a bit like when Steve Bruce was there. He was brilliant in the dressing room, along with one or two others, etc. Roy Keane would be another one. They just don't seem to have that figure in there. And I suppose the other problem as well is quite possibly Ranić goes in summer. At the moment, as far as we know, he's going to go in summer. So I say they're just like, they're in a void, aren't they? It's just a really strange thing. They're just not playing well. You might get half an hour, you might get one half, but they just can't put a full 90 minutes together.
Is Lingard contradicting Rangnick during the week, Shane Keegan, another example of the dressing room not being right, or is that just Lingard being upset because he didn't get his move?
Yeah, well, I think, look, Lingard is very much on the periphery of things there, and he knows he's on the periphery. I'd say he's kind of, his thought process at the moment is, I can't make the situation much worse for myself than it is, so I'm just going to say what I like, would be his thinking, I think. But I agree very, very much with Laura. I think analysing what United are doing right or doing wrong on the pitch anymore is almost a pointless endeavour. I think the whole solution to fixing things at Old Trafford is trying to fix the dressing room. I really, really do think so. I think the dynamic within that dressing room has to change, has to be got right before anything will correct itself on the pitch. They still have quality players. They have quality players who aren't performing very well, but they still have absolute quality players.
Who are those?
I still think most of them, to be honest. Like you take somebody like Rashford, who obviously has been completely off the boil. Like, I think it takes something very, very small to click with Rashford.
But has it not in the last couple of games with a couple of goals?
Yeah, he has. He's probably turned a little bit of a corner, all right, so he has. Like, you know, you get people like McTominay, who, you know, at times people say not good enough to be a United player. I think he shows a lot. I think he's a very, very good player at times. I think all over the place. Like, Fernandez, you know, he's kind of tipping along there at the moment, whereas he was the outstanding player in the Premier League last year for a huge, huge chunk of it. So there's a lot of players playing way below the level that they're capable of. And I think that's because of their demeanour and their personality and the way that dressing room is operating at the moment. Look, I don't know how you fix it. You know, it's a good point Laura makes on Harry Maguire. Like, Graham, you've probably been in dressing rooms where you probably were the manager's go-to guy in terms of shaping the dressing room. Like, I don't know. I know it's a strange way to put it, but like, if you were a more high-profile player and you were now walking into that Manchester United dressing room as somebody who was a proven international and somebody that the manager wanted to grab the dressing room by the scruff of the neck, I mean, how would you go about that now?
As a player, you sort of take your lead off the manager, and the manager sets the culture and sets the tone, and then you just follow on them instructions a little bit, like, you know, punctuality, how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you train properly. All them things come into it. I don't think that I couldn't tell you the culture or the identity of Man United's team at the minute or their club. I couldn't tell you if they're going to play attacking full press football like he said that they were going to do when he came in, because he made his name off being a pressing coach. Like you said, you don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next, but as a player who's demanding standards all the time, you're following that off to sort the culture around the club, and if that culture isn't there, what are you referring to? What's your reference point? Because I don't think they have one at the minute. And like the lad said, and Laura touched on it as well, like, if he's not going to be there in the summer and you're going all in with his beliefs, and then that changes, you sort of have egg on your face as a player, because you're going, well, I've backed this guy and now another guy's come in and you have to go again. But I do think there's certain standards you should have as a professional footballer, and there's certain standards you should have as a Man United player, that you have to be willing to put in your best performance as you can every week, because that's what comes with the club. They've the fourth, I think they've four out of the top five highest paid players in the Premier League. So there is a certain level of standard that you expect from that type, but they're just not producing. And again, they're only producing sporadically. And it's hard to get a consistency with them because, I just don't know what their culture is or their identity. And again, it's hard for players to input that when it's not coming from the people above you, because, like I touched on, you've no reference point.
No. I think the other thing, John, they look like they're just playing for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they absolutely just look like it's like, well, what we're doing here, you know what, I'm just going to play for myself, with the odd exception. And, you know, people, when you talk to people about, you know, the dressing room being strong and this and all that kind of thing, and the manager, the dressing room's many, many, many things. And in a really, really good dressing room, players sort out the problems. And if you're acute as a manager and you know you've got a really strong dressing room, sometimes you let them to it. You let them get on with it. I remember when I was at Newcastle with Kevin Keegan and Terry McDermott and stuff, and we had Ginola, Ferdinand, Beardsley, Shearer, etc. And we were playing Arsenal at home, and Ginola was playing on the left, and he was doing his usual thing, which was he didn't really want to go past the fullback because it was Lee Dixon, and he know he'd get clattered. So he kept coming inside, looking to cross it, shaping to cross it, but never crossing it. And Shearer and Les Ferdinand are making these runs right across the defenders and stuff like that. Anyway, so we get to half-time, we're 1-0 down, and Kevin just said, hold on a minute, let's give them 5 minutes, because he'd spotted it straight away. So we waited outside the door for 5 minutes, and sure enough, when we got in, Shearer had Ginola up against the wall. He basically lifted him up with one hand, and his feet weren't quite touching the floor, Ginola. And he just gave it to him. And he just said, if you do that again, he said, I will come over there and knock you straight out. I don't care if you think, you know, you're the best player in the world and you love yourself. I will knock you straight out. Do you know what? It worked.
But question for you, Laura, on that, like, and obviously the managers you worked with, the players take the lead off that, and they know, well, Keegan probably would have backed Shearer then. He would have went, no, I agree with you. And that's where that comes from, is that I knew the message my manager wanted, so I can then input that, and I know, well, my manager's going to back me on this, because we know the standards. Like, Shearer knew the standards. The lads in Liverpool knew the standards. So when somebody spoke, they were speaking off the fact that I know I'm going to get backed by this because I know what's right, because I've been here long enough. The likes of Hansen or Souness is going, well, I've worked under Paisley, this is what's expected. So when they spoke, you knew. I'm not challenging that because the manager's going to back him on that. And they're the things that I think is lacking at Man United.
Yeah, definitely. And we used to have this saying, 14 teas, one coffee. As in, it should be 15 teas. So, and we had, you know, we had loads of, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've told John this before, but the very first game I played for Liverpool was in Madrid against Atletico, and Liverpool had just won the European Cup against Real. And it was a pre-season friendly. And on the day before the game, we were training over in Madrid. It was really, really hot, to be fair. We just had a little warm-up five-a-side, which is all we ever, ever, ever did, as everybody knows, but conditioned five-a-side. And I remember Alan Kennedy looking up to play a ball, and Graeme Souness wanted it. And Graeme was like showing and showing and showing and showing. And Alan never played it to him. Graeme went over and chinned him, literally chinned him, right? Floored him. Okay, and to be fair to Alan, he didn't get up, and wisely probably didn't get up. And Joe Fagan went, what's wrong with you two? Oh, nothing, boss, nothing, boss. And that was it, and they just got on with it. And it's just, that's the way that it's got to be. You know, and that's why when you have people like that in the team, I'm not saying you go around punching people, but everybody was aware that, you know, it's we're all together. We're absolute. So it's not 14 teas, one coffee. It's 15 teas and get on with it.
Were you nervous, Laura, after that? Were you nervous?
Passing it to Souness every 2 minutes.
Listen, I'll tell you what, I've gave him more passes than he's ever had in his life. You're Graham, you can have it. Don't worry about it.
Did Ginola sort himself out then? Was he better after the second half? Or did he go into a shell?
Did what? Alan Kennedy.
Ginola. Did Ginola go into a shell? Or
Ginola. Oh, my God. Did he ever? I've never seen him so good. And in the end, he was tackling Lee Dixon. To be fair to Shearer came in at the end of the game, and you know it was all good. And I think he said something to Kevin. Do you get a bonus for that half-time team?
But John, that's why I love hearing like Laurel thrown out stories like that, or that's why I threw it at Graham, is because like there's certain universal truths in football or in sport, like, and that's one of them. Like the level I would have been managing at is 100 levels below the level Laurel played at, and yet everything he said there 100% applies. Like when the most successful period I had in football management when I was at Wexford, I had a captain and a vice captain in Graham Doyle and Aidan Keenan, who they just took care of that dressing room. They just sorted any problems. I never even heard about the problems. And sometimes they did it in a strong-armed manner, absolutely. And it's just a universal truth that's what you need. You need 2-3 leaders within your dressing room who's... Now, look, it can go real wrong if those 2-3 leaders have the wrong mindset and the wrong application. But if those 2-3 leaders are all about the team and all about what's best for the team, and they come down like a ton of bricks on anybody who is not all about the team, you have the easiest life in the world as a manager.
We got a bonus point try for Ireland, 29 against Wales, 29-0 now, with Gary Ringrose getting that fourth try. What a start to the Six Nations for Ireland. 63 minutes on the watch as Johnny Sexton puts on the jacket. He's been substituted. An excellent performance from the Ireland captain. And we're going to be there for the France game next week with a win under our belts, 29-0. And hopefully Johnny is okay. Got a bad knock in the second half, Johnny Sexton. Hopefully there'll be no issues around concussion or anything like that. But can it happen nowadays? You know, this the loose nature of what Lara was talking about then 40 years ago. Does that, you know, life has changed?
Fights?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, they still open. I retired probably 6 years ago, but yeah, you'd fight. I've seen plenty of rails in dressing rooms, but... That's where they stay on training grounds. That's the way it goes, like, you know.
Shane?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We would have had a few tasty enough ones at Galway in particular, so we would. But, like, you'd admire John, most of the time anyway, you admire the capabilities of footballers to have a row and forget about it 10 minutes later. You know, that's the good thing.
Yeah.
There's certain, like, the buzzword at the minute is non-negotiables. What's your non-negotiables for your football club? What are we implementing as a team? Obviously, everybody took a lot of cues from the All Blacks a few years ago and all them things. But there is certain non-negotiables that any team is successful, they generally tick all of them. You know, punctuality, how you carry yourself, how you interact, no social media. Like at the moment, you know, you aren't ticking any of them.
Well, it wasn't the classic example. Ronaldo going out in the press a few weeks ago talking about mentality of young players and then throwing a strap when he got taken off by Rangnick the following week.
But then, like, Lingard putting that up on social media, go and speak to your manager. Like, why are you putting that out? And, like, go and speak to your manager. You're playing for one of the biggest football clubs in the world. Like, you don't need
to
have
social media.
And
the Harry Maguire apologies, lads.
Sorry?
The Harry Maguire apologies.
Like, all that stuff.
That's
just, another thing to public fame. You're like, you can't, like, I just think that the players are sort of hiding behind social media a little bit and using it to come across like they care more. Just showing your performances. That's it. Like, you don't need to do anything else. I don't know, because you're sometimes even saying you feel like you're being a little bit old school or archaic here, but there's certain things that you just go, there's a lot of things I changed from when I played and coached that now with a different mindset, I'd be like, do you know what? I dispense of all that and just be concentrated on what's in front of you. And I think they just need to concentrate on playing, go away from all the sort of fuss all around it and just get back to winning football matches.
Yeah. John?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of players now, their agents manage everything they put up there and out there. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the players pay them. And there's lots and lots of players doing it.
Companies,
yeah. Speaking to someone at the PFA, and they said it's like, it's rife. I mean, why on earth would you let somebody else do that? It's just nuts, isn't it?
You know, you should have sold Lingard. They should have sold him last year when his value was high. They're going to lose him for nothing. They're going to lose him for, after the West Ham loan, he kicked in his extension in the summer. They should have sold him when his value was at its highest. They're going to lose him for nothing in the summer. Now they're looking, they're trying to ransom Newcastle into taking him on a loan deal and basically incentivising it that if they stay up, they pay X amount because they know they've lost, they're going to lose a lot of money on this, on losing Lingard in the summer for nothing. They should have sold him last year when his value was at his highest. Sorry, Laurel.
Yeah, no, it's all right. No, the other thing is, as well, of course, he was at West Ham.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Molly, he said, God, how well has he done for you? And he said, brilliantly. He said, but he said, he came to us with a little bit of a reputation as a bit of a boy, like a night out and all those kind of things. And he said, the best thing that happened to us and him was lockdown.
Yeah.
He couldn't go anywhere. And Moses said he was staying back and doing extra training and everything. And he said, in a real world, he said, I don't think he would have been doing too much extra training. So that, I mean, that was an absolute win. When, I mean, West Ham tried to take him again this time, but United, what are they frightened of? He's not playing. Just get some money and let him go.
Yeah. We got Laura here, Graeme Gartland, the former League of Ireland and FAI Cup winner with Drogheda. And Shane Keegan, the UEFA Pro Licence coach on Football Saturday. You want to get a text in there, 53106. You want to say something there, Graeme?
No.
The rugby's going well. 29 points to nil.
I'm trying to look. It's on the screen here, so I'm looking down there and I'm looking over at you and then I'm looking up at the lads on the screen up here. I'm all over the place.
We're looking at me phone here,
I'm
JD.
I'm just watching it,
John. we're not just on News Talk, folks. We're also on the Off The Ball digital and social channels. If you don't know that yet, you can also watch us, our ugly mugs, on Twitter, on Facebook and on YouTube. So 29-0.
Off not knowing.
Yeah, 29-0 for Ireland against Wales. Bonus points secured, 4 tries. Andrew Conway with 2, Bundy Aki with 1, Gary Ringrose with 1. Johnny Sexton has now gone off the pitch, and Joey Carberry kicking the ball into the corner there. So a very impressive start for Ireland in the Six Nations. In the FA Cup, the magic or the tragic of the Cup, we got Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1 full-time, Kidderminster 1, West Ham 2 full-time, half-times, Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0. Everton 1, Brentford 0 at half-time. Yerry Mina with the goal for the Toffees. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0 is the latest. It is Manchester City 2, Fulham 1 at half-time. John Stones and Ilkay Gundogan for City. Peterborough 1, QPR 0. Southampton 0, Coventry 1. That could be a turn-up for the books at St Mary's. Stoke 1, Wigan 0. And Wolves 0, Norwich City 1 in the FA Cup fourth round. Cambridge against Luton kicks off at 5:30. Tottenham against Brighton at 8 o'clock this evening. Dundee 1, Ross County 1 in the Scottish Premiership. Hibernian 0, St Mirren 0. Livingston 1, Aberdeen 0. And St Johnston 0, Dundee United 0. These are the latest scores. Also the Premier League tonight, Burnley against Watford, 6 o'clock start. Dublin Racing Festival conflated 18-1 winner of the big one, the Gold Cup. That's a bit of a shock. Davy Russell in the saddle for Gordon Elliott, the trainer there. Earlier on, Manella Kakuner won the 2 mile 6 furlong novices hurdle at a price 11-1 for Willie Mullins. Willie Mullins also success in the juvenile hurdle with Vauban at 9-4 and with Blue Lord in the Arkle chase at 5-2. So that's what's been going on at the Dublin Race Festival at Leopardstown. Get your text into us, 53106. We'll be speaking about Arsenal, Everton, Liverpool and also plenty of other things with Laro, Graeme Gartland and Shane Keegan after the news. And Off The Ball here on News Talk. Do not go away.
This weekend on News Talk, we've teamed up with the ISI, the Insolvency Service of Ireland, to help you take stock of your expenditure and get your finances in order. For some advice and cash-saving ideas, get to newstalk.com/tips.
Hi, I'm Philip O'Driscoll, founder of plumbing and heating company Arc Heating Services. Staying connected to my customers is the lifeblood of my business. So having a reliable broadband connection is everything. Making the switch to Air Gigabit Fibre Broadband was a game changer for our success.
Switch and save with Air Gigabit Fibre Broadband for business. Head to air.ie/business, go in store or call 1-800-207-407. Air, let's make possible. Subject to availability, offer applies to businesses with up to 9 employees.
So, you've bolted up this lovely home together. The kids are growing up fast and you're paying the mortgage. You could say it's all going to plan. But you haven't got a financial plan, have you?
Not really.
No.
You've got some money in the bank?
Yeah, in an account.
But it's just sitting there losing value.
I guess so.
And what about your pensions?
Oh,
More tea?
You don't have to be in the dark when it comes to your money. You can plan a brighter future. For advice on investments, pensions and financial planning, ask Paul. Visit askpaul.ie.
Pax Asset Management Act, trading as Ask Paul and Pax Financial, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show.
On the programme, I spoke with Jade, daughter of missing Dublin woman Bernadette Connolly.
You're trying to be optimistic, you know, but also, you know, I'm not in denial about a situation either. But until I have her, I can't give up. I can't sit back and not do anything.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk. Tom Don.
Music, chat, guests, bit of crack. Paul, John, Bob, Joni, Sinead, both Elvises. It's first name terms all the way.
Tom Don.
Tom Don Show, Sunday to Thursday, each night from 10 p.m.
on News Talk.
So do please drop in.
Guaranteed Irish business members continue to sustain jobs and communities across Ireland.
Like Styra, who've produced safe and strong loft ladder systems from their factory in Dunmore, County Galway, for the past 40 years. Styra are the only manufacturer of folding attic stairs in Ireland and take great pride in providing Irish jobs and supporting local communities. You'll be Delira with your Styra. Measure, make, install. Styra does it all. So look out for the G. GuaranteedIrish.ie. All together better.
In 2021, Volkswagen's ID.3 and ID.4 were Ireland's best-selling all-electric cars. But leadership means more than being number one. It means you have trust and confidence in us to make a difference. Trust in us to create all-electric cars with zero driving emissions. And confidence that our all-electric cars help deliver a better future. That's Volkswagen all-electric leadership. This is just the start. Volkswagen. Best-selling all-electric cars last year. Claim applies to January to December 2021.
The average office phone and keyboard contain over 25,000 germs per square inch. Protect your staff from germs, COVID-19 and other viruses. Get your IT equipment, server room and data centres professionally deep cleaned and sanitised by Alpha CC. For a free consultation, call 286-1800 or email info@alphacc.ie.
At your local Centra, we have great offers, like Centra Fresh Irish Chicken Fillets, 680 gram, only €6. My Wadi 1 litre selected range, half price now €1.23 each. And until Sunday, Carlsberg 20 bottle box, only €21. Centra, live every day. Enjoy it sensibly.
Let's celebrate spring at Woodies with 70% off home furniture. Great deals on paint like Dulux Moda, 2.5 litre, 2 for €77. And amazing offers on DIY, like the DeWalt 18-volt combi kit, only €139.99. Shop in-store, online, or with Click and Collect. Woodies, we're all homemakers. T's and C's and exclusions apply.
On 106 to 108 FM. On the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud and Smart Speaker. This is News Talk.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm Michael Dooley. Tipperary University Hospital will add 33 beds to its capacity, which could end the trolley crisis in the county. That's according to Fianna Fáil TD Jackie Cahill, who was informed of the news by Health Minister Stephen Donnelly this morning. The redevelopment of St Michael's in Clonmel will add the extra beds at a cost of €7 million. And speaking to Beat News, Cahill says General Manager Maria Barry believes it will make a huge difference.
She said to me, we have 14 people on trolleys today in the hospital. And, you know, that's at the start of the weekend on a Saturday morning, and that would only get worse as the weekend went on. So to have the 23 extra beds coming into the system should alleviate the trolley crisis for good and for all in Tipperary University Hospital. And the real cost-effective proposal, €7 million, you know, to get 33 extra beds into the system is great value for money.
A man extradited from Romania to face trial for money laundering and setting up bogus companies has been remanded in custody. 25-year-old Alexandru Robert Altinu was arrested yesterday at Dublin Airport after being detained in Romania on a European arrest warrant. Adrian Harmon reports.
Mr. Altinu, of no fixed abode in Ireland but who had an address in Middlesex in England, appeared before Judge Gráinne Malone at Dublin District Court this morning. He faces 11 counts of money laundering of €250,000 in alleged crime proceeds through bank accounts in Ireland. He's also accused of 14 counts of using false identity documents to set up companies and one charge for theft of €400. Detective Garda Kieran Ronan told Judge Malone that the accused made no reply when charged. He objected to bail on the basis that Mr. Altinu was a flight risk. Defence barrister Kevin McCrave said there was no application for bail at this stage and an application for legal aid was deferred. Judge Malone remanded Mr. Altinu in custody to appear at Cloverhill District Court on Friday.
And an external expert to conduct a sample audit of North Kerry Youth Mental Health Services. It's after a report in South Kerry Children's Mental Health Services found many children were exposed to the risk of significant harm. There'll be 20 young people surveyed in the audit. It's 4:02.
News Talk weather.
Thanks to Ryanair. Watch Ireland bash Boris's boys in Twickenham with a Ryanair flight this March.
Very windy with gales on western and northern coasts. Rain persisting in most areas for much of the day with highest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees. And now you're up to date on News Talk.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch big games from the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports.
Welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. Just going to break away from football for a moment because we'll get an update now in the closing stages of Ireland against Wales, and going to be a win for Ireland. Andy Dunn.
Yeah, it looks like very much so. It's been a win on the cards for the last 15 minutes. That said, Wales have just been gifted an intercept try. There's 4 minutes to go. It's 29-7 now to Ireland, but very much a try for Wales against the run of play and not something they created. Tane Basham just intercepted a rather kind of hopeful pass off the floor from Tyburn deep in her own territory. Very easy try for Wales, but very much against the run of play. The result's been wrapped up for the last 15 minutes or so. 29-5 to Ireland in the 77th minute.
Yeah, and a bonus point as well secured, Andy. Thanks for that, with Gary Ringrose getting that fourth try. After tries from Andrew Conway, a couple for him and also Bundy Aki, so Ireland go to Paris with a win under their belts. It's Scotland against England at 4:45. In the rugby in the Six Nations. A Wave of the Sea at 9-2 has won the handicap chase there at the Dublin Racing Festival, the latest race there, trained by Joseph O'Brien, ridden by Shane Fitzgerald. Conflated an 18-1 chance, won the Gold Cup earlier on. Just give you some scores elsewhere as well. In the AIB All-Ireland Junior Club Hurling Championship final at Croke Park, Bally Giblin of Cork, 112, Moon Coyne, Kilkenny, 15 points. They're level at the moment. That is into the second half there. In the league in football, Division 3, Antrim 9 points, Limerick 2-6. So Limerick set for a victory there at Carrigan Park. In the hurling league, Division 2B, a full-time Derry 2-14, Sligo 1-14. And in Division 3A, a full-time Armagh 2-16, Louth 3-12, a win for Armagh. And in Division 3B, a latest score for Manna 1-20, Cavan 12 points. The Dubs and Kerry in Tralee at 7 o'clock in the football this evening. Also in football, the other type of football, association football, we got games in the FA Cup fourth round. Let you know the latest scores here now. We have Chelsea beating Plymouth 2-1. Kidderminster 1, West Ham 2 a full-time. Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0 as latest. Also latest scores. Everton 1, Brentford 0. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0. Man City 2, Fulham 1. Peterborough 1, QPR 0. Southampton 0. Coventry 1. Stoke 1, Wigan 0. And Wolves 0, Norwich 1. Norwich have scored in the last few minutes with Kenny McLean on the mark there for the Canaries. That is at Molineux in the FA Cup. Adam Eda starting. Up front for Norwich, which is great to see. It's always great to see Adam Eda in the team because it seems like Dean Smith likes him at the moment. Also, just to let you know, our coverage on Off the Ball brought to you by Sky. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports. We're joined by Laro, the former League and European Cup winner with Liverpool and Republic of Ireland defender, the UEFA Pro Licence coach Shane Keegan, and also the FAI Cup and League of Ireland winner with Drogheda, Graeme Gartland, to talk about the beautiful game. Just a text in here on 53106 for Laro. John, a question for Laro. If you're picking a combined Liverpool and United team at the moment, who from United gets in the team?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, yeah. That's not a surprise, is it?
Well, it's not a surprise that I said no, but I don't. Who would you take?
De Gea, maybe? No?
No? Allison? Yeah, above Alisson? No.
I'm trying to think of a United player that's playing well at the moment, and he's the only one I can think of who's playing well.
Hey, don't forget Alisson's a goal scorer, John.
Yeah, yeah. No, Alisson's one of the best keepers in the world. So.
Yeah, De Gea has to play well, though, to keep him United in games. Yeah.
Anybody in the United team again, the Liverpool team, Shane?
No, I think an on-form Bruno Fernandes, maybe. But I don't know if his current form would even prove it. Just, you were going through results there, JD. Just to throw one other one at you there, that's after catching me eye. Soon to be Roy Keane, Sunderland 0, bottom of the table, Doncaster Rovers 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
Roy Keane, Sunderland, Stephen Gerrard's Aston Villa, and Frank Lampard's Everton. It's amazing how they get
Patrick
these.
Vieira, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Graeme Gartland's, Shane Keegan's, yeah. what's the reaction on Merseyside to Frank Lampard, Laro?
Good. It can be a strange bunch, the Evertonians, which obviously we saw with the appointment of Benitez, and rightly so in many ways. But no, I think it's been good. I think the, was it the Portuguese guy who came over, was it Pereira?
Yeah, who went on Sky Sports News and talked about his job interview, which is very strange. And then it was graffiti, Pereira out, Lampard in. Like for graffiti for Frank Lampard on Merseyside, that is strange.
Yeah, I know. They weren't having Pereira, absolutely weren't having him whatsoever. And I know sometimes it's just a small minority, but I think it was the majority of supporters were going, no, let's get somebody somebody who knows the league, and I think it's a good appointment with Frank Lampard. I think the signing of obviously who did he sign?
Ali and Van der Beek on loan.
Yeah, I think he'll get them playing. I think he's a kind of player that will put his arm, kind of manager will put his arm around players. I just saw a little bit of a thing when he met Dele Alli, and it was all good, looked great and everything. I think he'll get him playing, and he is a player. I think he's one of those who needs to be loved. But also, I think he's one of those who's better out of London, if you understand what that means. And up north, it's a bit difficult. You're in a goldfish bowl, so that'd be good. Van der Beek as well. He just needs to play. I think Everton's problems basically are at the back. They've been awful all season. But interesting to say, you said Seamus Coleman was playing wing back today, John.
Yeah.
So he's obviously going with the three or the five, whichever you want to call it. So I think straight away he's been looking at the DVDs or whatever and decided that they're awful at the back, which they are.
Well, he's gone with Godfrey Keane and Holgate as a three, with Mikulenko and Coleman as wing backs, with Allen and Gomez in the middle.
Yeah, well, he's got legs in there, and you know, and two of the three centre backs, the wide centre backs, are wanted. The quick, aren't they? Keane wouldn't be the quickest, but the other two are quick. So that if you make a mistake in that position, but you've got pace to spare, you can recover. So that would be sensible. I think you'll get them playing. And listen, where they are in the league, what are they, sixth bottom, seventh bottom, or something? They're much better than that. Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison. They've got some good players.
And Richarlison has just scored 2-0.
There you go. Right on cue. The only problem with him is, I think, from what I'm told by one of the lads that I know who works at Everton, that they're ready for the kind of Richarlison at the end of the season, I want to go. But maybe with Frank Lampard, he might just...
He's talented. He's a talented player, Richard. He just needs to be kept happy, because he can be a bit of a moody individual. I remember seeing that he got annoyed that he didn't take a penalty earlier in the season at Brighton. But that goal he scored...
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah, but if you get the best out of him, he's got a lot of talent, that player.
Oh, he's a proper player, and he's strong. He's strong as an ox as well. And his partnership with Calvert-Lewin is really, really, really good. So... No, they're much better than the position that they're in at the moment.
I don't buy this Ali Van der Beek thing at all. They were saying on the back pages this week that it was a coup. Like, Ali to me is a busted flush as a player, and maybe, like, hopefully I'm wrong for his sake. And Van der Beek, I don't really see the positives or the benefit of this for.
Do you not? That's interesting.
I don't see it. I think Ali, like, look at the stats the last few seasons. He's like, it hasn't been a one season thing. This is like, Ali hasn't played like well for Spurs probably since 2017. Shane,
but is this just the sports thing from your end, or do you just think this
kind of narrative that Lampard has had a coup to sign two players that weren't deemed good enough to play first team football for their clubs is a bit of a misnomer for me.
They're both international footballers as well, though. Sorry, Shane, go on.
Yeah. He's been awful for us, John, and it's impossible for our comments not to be coloured by how poor he has been for Spurs. That's for sure. You know, like yourself, I'm sure I'm in a few WhatsApp groups, and just any time he's on the field, he gets dogs abuse in the WhatsApp group. So he does. He had a decent performance there a while ago against Chelsea. I thought it might reignite him a little bit, but he just reverted back to type very, very quickly. He doesn't help himself either with his body language, does he? He looks mopey and kind of sulky and that, but. He is the sort of fella, I think, you know, if he feels the love and arm around the shoulder, new manager, all that kind of thing, I wouldn't rule out him reigniting, John.
Yeah, I hope for his sake.
I think getting him out of London is a masterstroke.
Well.
Change the scenery for him.
Ireland have won, by the way, 29-7 against Wales. We'll hear from Andy Dunn on that shortly. What will Lampard have learned, Laura, then, you think, from Chelsea? Look, it went south from in the end, but what would he maybe take from that as an experience?
I think he'll take lots of it from experience, but he's certainly, you know, he's shown he's been able to deal with sort of big-time players, etc. It was a job too early for him, to be honest with you. He did really, really well with Derby. You know, the loan players he brought in, etc., and the style of football was good, etc. But it was just too early. And you've got to have loads and loads of experience to deal with experience but top players, and he hadn't. And I think he'll have learned loads and loads and loads of stuff. But I think this is a really good job for him. I don't think he could really have got a better one, in all honesty. But at any big club, it's dealing with the players who aren't in the team. That's it, you know. And you know, the stories come out of dressing rooms, and where do they come from? The guys who aren't playing. It's never, apart from Man United, maybe, it's never the guys who are in the team. It's the guys who aren't playing. And I think he probably found that difficult to deal with. Listen, he's a super intelligent boy, you know, Frank Lampard, and he really gets it. I think he'll do well at Everton. They've already backed him, but they're really seriously going to back him.
Well, they'd want to be better in the transfer market than they have been the last few seasons. Some of the deals they've done have been absolutely appalling. And the wages they're on, and like the money, like the whole system at Everton from the way the club has been run has been a mess.
Well, but it's the owner. It's purely and simply the owner. And I know at one stage when who was the Dutch manager that they had for a while?
Ronald Koeman,
yeah.
Yeah. Was it Koeman? Yeah. Listen, they were three backroom, not so much backroom staff, but maybe it was certainly the owner. He was saying we should have these players. The main recruiter was saying we should have these players, and someone else who was around there, the laddie Walsh, was it, who'd been there for a while? They're all going for different players. They're all falling out. It's like, whoa, do you know? And Mashiri would just be, yeah, let's go and get him. I've heard about him. I mean, what he paid for two of the Arsenal players he took, and you just said about the wages, John. The wages they were on, and they Iwobi. You wouldn't believe what money he's on. And this lad who went back to Southampton that never really understood.
Theo Walcott,
on his day, you think, wow. But he never, ever, ever got football. He reacted when the ball came to him. The money he was on to go to Arsenal was just nuts. And of course, then, you know, in the dressing room, and you look at these players you brought in, and at best they're average, it causes a problem because you're thinking, hold on a minute. He's getting three times more money than me.
None of this is the player's fault. This is the thing. Nobody turn it down. Nobody turn down the terms of contract. If you're, well, that's the contract. That's the length of it. That's the money. It's the people who run the club. And like, why would it be any different for a Frank Lampard than it was for Ancelotti or Allardyce or Koeman or Benitez or Martinez or anybody else?
Yeah. There's no plan.
Yeah.
There's no plan. There's no recruitment plan. There's no, let's bring these in, let's build a, let's sign young, hungry players who are 23, 24. Let's have a wage structure that the 23 to 20, 28 year olds are going to fall into this bracket. The ones who are more experienced, the 28, 29, who have been successful, fall into that bracket. There's no plan in the recruitment to say, well, where do we need to go?
Just got to break away for a full time. Sorry, lads. For Ireland have beaten Wales in the Six Nations. Let's get a wrap of what happened at Lansdowne Road from Andy Dunn.
A convincing 29-7 final score. Ireland well on top in terms of possession and territory for the whole game. Scored four tries. Three were converted and one penalty from Sexton, and all four tries came from members of the back line. Bundy Aki scored after 3 minutes in the first half. Andrew Conway scored after 3 minutes of the second half. The first of a brace for Conway, his first being a superb finish, his second a walk in, and finally an electric outside break from Gary Ringrose with about 15 minutes to go finished Ireland's try scoring. Very much on top for the last 15 minutes, and Wales took an opportunistic intercept with about 4 minutes to go. It was really one of the only chances they had all game. Showed Ireland's strength in defence on both sides of the ball, excellent in defence, excellent in attack, an understrength Welsh side, possibly underwhelming in terms of their overall performance, but weren't allowed to play by a very, very strong and impressive first Irish outing.
Thanks so much, Andy, for everything today. Great stuff. Ireland beating Wales 29-7 in the Six Nations. Off to Paris we go. Allez les Verts. And it's Scotland against England at 4:45 in the Calcutta Cup match at Murrayfield. Just go through some FA Cup scores. Everton 2, Brentford 1 now. Brentford have pulled one back at Goodison Park. Man City 3, Fulham 1. So City have added another there at the Etihad Stadium in the fourth round of the FA Cup. And it has come from Riyad Mahrez from the penalty spot. And also any other scores. No, they're all the same. Norwich still 1-0 up at Wolves. You want to finish off there, and Lauro, on Frank Lampard?
Well, just, just with Mashiri, what of course is a worry is that he's basically funding the new stadium. So, you know, they're in a situation where nobody wants to upset him, because if he decides, you know what, stuff you lot, I'm off, there's no new stadium, or there is, and they'd be in a massive, massive debt.
Yeah, well, he's put 500 million into the club, so look, to be fair to him.
Mad, isn't it?
You know, it's some commitment, and he's actually just released another 100 million, so look, you can't say that he hasn't put his money where his mouth is, but like, just whether he maybe just should just get out of the situation.
But John, look at what like Liverpool done, and look, Man City would be a better example. Before they got Guardiola, a year out, they put all these people in place. So when Guardiola took the club, all the structures were there. So then all of a sudden, their recruitment team kicks in, everybody's ready to go. They have a new stadium, the training ground gets redone. All these things are put in place so Guardiola can just go and manage. They're not able to do that at Everton. Ancelotti's not able to do that at Everton, because Benitez comes in and clears out everybody. So again, yeah, you're going, it's all well and good pumping money into the club, but there has to be a plan behind it, and there has to be accountability behind the money going in. Where's that money gone? Why haven't we made money back? Why are we selling players cheaper than what we brought them in as? And that's where, if I'm pumping that amount of money in, I'd want to be asking questions of where's it gone and why have we squandered it. That would be my
thing. Yeah.
The other thing, if I just put in as well, the problem as well is exacerbated, because look across the park, their recruitment's been brilliant. And, you know, apart from Alisson and Van Dijk, generally players in the 30 to 40 million bracket who wouldn't be top players when they arrive, but, you know, they've looked at them, the recruitment team looked at them and thought, all these guys can train on. I mean, when you look at Klopp, look at his recruitment, apart from the goalkeeper who now I don't even know where he is, the German boy, I mean, virtually every single player he's taken, he would now get more money for, and he's made them all into top players.
It was Soriano and Begiristain, wasn't it, who joined Man City with Guardiola. Just on Liverpool there, Laro, Luis Diaz, what's the temperature in Anfield around his signing?
I think it's high, because, you know, just what I said, people like the Marnes of this world, which was signed, and everyone went, oh, we're not quite sure about him and everything, but he looks a proper player. But I think I was laughing yesterday because I saw this picture of him and Klopp, and it was in Klopp's office, and he's probably already had his first bollocking as well, a new player, because he turned up in an Adidas tracksuit. And it was Adidas written all over it, so the sponsors will not be happy. But
they're a New Balance, I think. It's New Balance, Liverpool. Nike, is it?
Massive Nike deal, yeah.
Sorry.
Nike.
I'm out of the loop on my gear.
Yeah, don't worry. You're not alone. And you know, the thing is, I went to the two Porto games, and I thought, certainly after the second one at Anfield, it caused them loads of problems, and I didn't really know who this guy was. But competition for places, he plays on the left, but he's generally right-footed. He's a little bit, if you watch a lot of his goals, it's a bit Coutinho-like. You know, cut in from the left, bend it in the top corner, all that kind of stuff. I think he'll only get better at Anfield. And as I say, and it raises the competition for places. Because if you really look at the front three generally, Liverpool have been so, so lucky that none of those front three have really been out for a long time. And when you consider the way that Liverpool play, it's amazing. It either says a lot for them or the backroom staff or whatever, because normally when you play like that with that pressing thing, you know, you'd think at some stage you'd have an injury which would keep you out for 2 or 3 months, but it just doesn't seem to happen with them.
Mane and Salah, of course, tomorrow in the Cup of Nations in Africa with Senegal against Egypt.
Well, there's one for you. You watch this, that whoever wins it, well, is being allowed to go back to their own country by Liverpool to obviously show off the trophy and that. But they probably won't be playing on Thursday against Leicester City.
Right. OK, interesting stuff. How long is Klopp going to be there for, Laro, do you think?
As long as he wants. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me if he just one day went into the office and said, you know what, it's been an absolute blast, but I've had enough. And I would hope, you know, with the Americans, with the FSG, that you would hope that they've been looking already in terms of who they would bring in. And he'll never go and manage Germany, because he likes that day-to-day interaction with all these players. But he's the type of bloke who would go, you know what, I've done this, it's been brilliant, but I'm off. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it'll be a hard man to replace. Who?
Very.
We'll see how Jarrod gets on in the next few years, if it's 2 to 3 years. We talked about Lampard there being too soon for him. 5-3-1-6 after Spurs bought Sun, they changed formation and Dele Alli form dropped off. Shane Keegan, were Arsenal right to offload Aubameyang?
Yeah, 100%, John. Yeah, look, it got very messy, the manner in which it happened. But look, it has to be the manager's call. If the manager feels that he's not good for team morale, or he's not, you know, putting in a shift or living up to the, Graham was talking about non-negotiables and standards earlier. If he's fallen short of those, and he was the captain at the time, well then, get him out of place. And to be fair to Arteta, that's been further vindicated in the fact that, you know, I know it's trickled off a little bit lately, but they went on such a really good run of form just after he kind of booted him out of side. So that looks fantastic for Arteta. That really, really does. That kind of, you know, cements that it was the right decision for him to make. And look, I don't think Aubameyang's covered himself in glory in the whole thing between how he carried on and then how he seems to have gone kind of a couple of steps ahead in terms of making all this deal happen. Look, I suppose, to be fair to him, you can argue that he's taken a pay cut. You know, that's probably a good sign to a certain extent that he wants to get back playing. But he never struck me as the sort of player that you could rely on within a team. You know, he has ability. There's no doubt he has ability. But captaincy material and a go-to guy when times are tough, nah, he wouldn't have been that for me. And look, I don't think Arsenal will struggle without him. They've got such fantastic array of young talent coming through. They really, really do at the moment. And to be fair to Lacazette, he has stepped up since Aubameyang has stepped out of it. He really, really has. That surprised me, to be honest with you. That was the one that surprised me now. But he's been playing so, so well, almost as a kind of a... He's kind of double jobbing as a 9 and a 10 at the same time. He's doing really, really well, dropping off into little areas and then still getting himself back in around the box. I know he's not scoring a huge amount, but if he can keep going well for the rest of the season, backed up by all that talent around him, I really like Odegaard. Saka obviously looks a fantastic player. Look, I think Arsenal are better off without Aubameyang.
3-1 at Everton.
All right, John, I just one line about that Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Why didn't Jurgen Klopp take him when he'd had him?
Tuchel said the same as well. He said that he was late all the time. Yeah. We were talking, it's funny that the conversation we had this morning or earlier about Man United and about like having senior players in your dressing room that run the dressing room and instill that culture that a manager brings, and then he's your captain and he's the one that's constantly like, how does he then pull somebody and say, listen, get your finger out, this is what we're, this, that's not acceptable at Arsenal? He can't, like, because you lose all credibility,
the non-negotiables as you're talking about.
You lose all credibility. And that's the bit, like, and there's a bit of accountability on Aubameyang. He was flying, captained them to the FA Cup, he signed a massive contract, and then it was like just a lack of care and effort.
Just mirrored Ozil for me. Exactly the same thing.
As got Ozil now.
Aubameyang himself claims that Arteta forced him out, but when you look at the body of evidence, 22 goals in the previous season to what he did subsequently after signing the contract.
Arteta made him captain. I think he made him captain because I think it was the last throw of the dice.
Yeah. He gave him every chance. Yeah. 3-1 Everton lead now. Mason Holgate has scored at Goodison Park against Brentford in the Cup.
The revival is on.
Well, Frank Lampard's Everton. Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0, Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0, Man City 4 now, Fulham 1. So Man City going for the quadruple, quintuple, multiple. Riyad Mahrez with another goal from a Kevin De Bruyne assist. We have Peterborough 1, QPR 0, Southampton 1, Coventry 1. So the Saints have equalised there at St Mary's, and the goal coming from Stuart Armstrong. Jamie McGrath playing for Wigan, but they're 2-0 down away to Stoke, and it is Wolves 0, Norwich 1 still in the FA Cup fourth round, and Ireland have beaten Wales 29-7 in the Six Nations at Lansdowne Road and got the bonus point in the process. I wanted lads to jump into the TV the other night when I was watching Celtic Rangers, and you're a former man of Scotland,
Graham
Gartland. That was great. That was just why we live and why we want football fans back in stadiums.
The evening kickoffs for an Old Firm derby, I don't think there's been one since 2011 because of all the stuff that goes on around it. But you can see what it creates then. The atmosphere at Celtic Park is unbelievable. I've been lucky enough to be in probably 4 or 5 Old Firms. A lot of them are morning kickoffs rather than evening ones because everything that goes on with them. But unbelievable atmosphere, unbelievable start to the game from Celtic as well, and it just added to it. Even the light show they put on, I wouldn't be a big fan of it during the day, but because it doesn't really work, but again, fantastic. They done a little green light on the huddle, and it just added to it. You would have liked, I don't think they had fans, Rangers weren't allowed fans in the stadium.
No, they weren't.
And that
no.
probably is the only disappointment, that it's better. It is better when there's a thing fan. Yeah. The old firms, the atmosphere is unbelievable, but it's not one of those where you go to where there's singing, and because it just doesn't, nothing gets a chance to build, because they absolutely go, like, any decision, throw ins. You'd be in, the crowd would be in the middle of singing a little song, and then the throw in go against you, and it's just uproar. It's just nothing. It's just there's a constant buzz that just sits in the ground. For, and at both stadiums, I've been to Old Firms and both grounds, and it just sits there, and it's just constant. They're probably, for me, is the best atmosphere in a game I've ever been at.
There you go. That's some statement from Graeme Gartland. Laura, the best atmosphere at a game you've ever been at?
Of course, it's certainly up there. But Merseyside derbies when Everton were a really, really good side as well, were tops. But yeah, I mean, I watched it and was glued to it, and it was just fabulous, and it just really seriously is. And how you must feel as a player, certainly the other night, a Celtic player with no Rangers fans in anyway, they were just, their performance was like unlike anything they'd put together all the season. It was brilliant.
Ange knows what he's doing, doesn't he, Shane Keegan? 9 of the 11 players who started had been signed by Ange, including Hatate, who seems to be the kid in the block there at the moment.
He does, yeah, and he's casting net wide in terms of where he's bringing the talent from. He really, really is. Look, they were fantastic the other night. I'd echo Graham's thoughts. I think I might have showed you when I was sitting in the studio there at one stage that I have a Celtic crest on my arm from my young and youthful days.
Is that a tattoo, Shane?
Yeah, it is.
You never decided to get removed, right? No.
No, absolutely not. Look, I would, like everything, you struggle to keep as up with it when you get a bit older as you did back when you were younger. I mean, in my early 20s, my late teens, I would have been absolutely Celtic crazy. It was the first stadium I was ever in outside of Ireland. So I was just remember absolutely incredible walking into the place and the crowd in there. I was in it in... The only thing better than beating Rangers 3-0 is beating Rangers with a last-minute goal. And I was in it in 2008 when Jan van Gore of Hesselink scored. Rangers were miles ahead in the
great
table.
And Scrabble.
They only needed a draw to keep the distance. And he got a last-minute winner. And Celtic ended up clawing the gap back and winning the title that year. It's just an incredible, incredible atmosphere. But I must admit, yeah, over the last few years, I haven't had my eye on it as much. And then, like you say, you're starting to, just seems to be a real good buzz around the place at the moment. And I had started to get sucked back in over recent weeks. So to see them produce what they produced on Wednesday night now has me already looking at flights and tickets and the whole lot and trying to figure out how soon I can get my young
back on the bandwagon,
there,
you know? Shane. Back on the bandwagon.
100%.
Well, that's also the consequence of being a Tottenham Hotspur supporter, Shane. So,
the course of it.
Yeah. Laura, you don't have any tattoos of Liverpool Liverbirds or anything on your arms right now?
European
Cup. Correct, John. Correct.
Yeah. You don't have any football-related tattoos, Graham?
Stop. No.
Folks out there, listeners out there, 53106.
No tattoos.
53106 listeners. If you have any football-related tattoos, maybe that, like Shane Keegan, like the big Celtic crest on your arm. it's hard, though, isn't it, Shane, to just... maybe Graham, I'm asking you this. It's then back to the normality of Scottish football, which is just a bit of shrug of the shoulders outside of the big ones, you know?
Yeah, and I think,
this was a league of the 80s that had Dundee United in a UEFA Cup final and in a European Cup semi-final.
Aberdeen
league titles under Alex Ferguson in a Cup Winners' Cup, beating Real Madrid in a Cup Winners' Cup
final. Do you know what's been a help in terms of revitalising the interest? I can only speak from my perspective. The amount of Irish players over there at once. The amount of
Ross Tierney scoring for Motherwell the other night. Johnny Hayes
at St Mirren as well. You know, you had a huge amount. That was kind of initially what started me looking at results again and sucking me back in. So it was, yeah.
I think it just became such a... basically a monopoly that the finances of the Old Firm took over, and it's I don't think anyone's broke that since, I think, Ferguson's Aberdeen was the last one to break, or it might be in 1983, Dundee United was the last team outside the Old Firm to win the league. So I think it's
Aberdeen, yeah. I think, in 86, I think.
Was it? So, yeah, they were the two I can think of, Dundee United in 83 and Aberdeen. They're the only ones to break the monopoly of either Celtic and Rangers. So in that sense, it becomes a little bit, I wouldn't say uninteresting, but it's the same. And what is it, Barcelona, Real Madrid win the league over there, Borussia Dortmund win the league in Germany. But from an Irish point of view, obviously Celtic's the interest, and when they were winning 9 in a row, everybody sort of expects them to win it, then Rangers go and stop 10 in a row, and then obviously it's on then to try and win it back, and the interest comes up. But considering what Celtic lost last year, the players they lost Oyer, Duffy, Christie, Edward, Scott Brown went to Aberdeen, so the recruitment they've had in the summer to then go and basically beat Rangers, who I think went unbeaten in the league, is fantastic. So it's really good achievement from them. And I think with Rangers obviously bringing Ramsey in, if they get Morales back, they're obviously going to be a better outfit, so it should be a good title race.
Liam Scales must be feeling pretty good watching that the other night.
John Kenny as well. That's gone over as well. So I think Liam's probably only disappointment was he didn't get a chance to go on and play. But yeah, they've recruited well. I think they've lost their main recruitment under Lennon, which was Nick Hammond. He left the club. So a lot of them have been doing it where Dermot Desmond's been involved and his son and stuff and that. So they've been involved in the recruitment heavily. And it does make for an interesting tight race, because I think they've won the game, Celtic, but I don't think Rangers are over. I think they'll come back. And like you said, Morelles and Ramsey's going to come in and play for them as well. So it'll be an interesting one.
Fasal Vega, the 11th-8 on favourite, winning the final race of the Dublin Racing Festival, the bumper there by 12 lengths. So I think he might be Cheltenham bound, related to Cue Vega. So conflated was the 18-1 winner of the Gold Cup earlier on. Shane Keegan, the best atmosphere you've been at a football match, either involved at or as a spectator?
Yeah, no, I would have to say the Celtic ones, really, to be honest. Such a couple of brilliant European nights when I was back mad into it as well. I remember a late equaliser, a late winner, I think it was, against AC Milan. Could have been Nakamura, I think, somebody like that. Just the incredible atmosphere over there. You know, it's a whole, you know, it's an experience more so than a soccer match, that's for sure, when you head across, and just the whole and the whole Irishness of it all. I know that'll rub people up, some people up the wrong way, but it's hard to describe.
Well, they were
it
singing
the
national anthem. I was hearing the national anthem through the TV the other night.
Look, it's the whole thing. When you do the,
well, at least they have it. Like, you know, because I watched the Late Late Show there about 10 days ago, and they didn't have the national anthem on. Anyway, sorry, that's just my humour. Go on, Shane.
When you do the whole day trip, and you head across in the boat, and you're having your few pints from early. I saw Kevin Cassidy actually tweeting clips from his whole day long, the build up to it on the Wednesday. You're into the brazen head for the sing song and the points and the whole lot. It's the whole thing that goes with the experience to one of the big Celtic games. It is hard to beat,
yeah,
you know.
They're massive.
Jody Moylan and Roscommon has been on Touch in 5-3-106. As a 42-year-old, I remember Panini sticker albums of the early 90s got me interested in Scottish football more than anything else. Motherwell, St Mirren, even Ross County became household names. Fair play to you, Jody, for your text on 5-3-106. Going to take a break. Laro, Shane Keegan and Graeme Gartland on Football Saturday here with thanks to Sky. We're back in a moment.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. All the football you love in one place. Across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
You're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. You can text us 5-3-106, tweet us at Off the Ball, streaming the conversation as well. Listen on News Talk, watch us on the digital and social channels for Off the Ball. For Periscope and Twitter, at Off the Ball, YouTube, Facebook, and on the OTB Sports app for iOS and Android. Search OTB Sports in your app store now to download it if you haven't already. Joined by Laro, the former Republic of Ireland and Liverpool defender, the UEFA Pro Licence coach Shane Keegan, and Graeme Gartland, the former League of Ireland and FAI Cup winner, to talk about the beautiful game. FA Cup scores, fourth round. Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1 a full time. West Ham got out of jail 2-1 win at Kidderminster earlier. Latest scores, Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0. It is Everton 3, Brentford 1. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0. It is Man City 4, Fulham 1. Peterborough 2, QPR 0. Southampton 1, Coventry 1. Stoke 2, Wigan 0. And Wolves 0, Norwich 1. In the Premier League later, 6 o'clock start, Burnley against Watford. A real six-pointer in that one at Turf Moor. In Scotland, Conor Ronan scored for St Mirren. They're 1-0 up away to Hibernian. Dundee 1, Ross County 2 is the latest score. Livingston 2, Aberdeen 1. And St Johnstone 0. Dundee United 0. We were speaking about players playing in Scotland there, Ross Tierney scoring during the week, Graham. Jamie McGrath off to Wigan, is that a good move for him? Probably good chance he's going to be playing in the Championship next season if they get promoted.
Yeah, if they get promoted, it's a really good move for him. I think it seemed to be like he had an ongoing saga getting out of St Mirren. I know Hibs tried to sign him last year and the deal fell through, and fell through on deadline day. There was a bit of confusion about it at Hibs because he was sitting there waiting to sign and something never got done right and he just missed out on him, and then obviously he refused his move to Aberdeen. So he's gone down south, and again, tough league to get out of. You play Saturday, Tuesday down there. It's a bit relentless, and a lot of travelling down in the UK or down in England compared to Scotland. So he'll get more game time and get him fresher and keep him right for when he has to play for Ireland. So yeah, hopefully it's a good move for him.
Ireland have beaten Wales 29-7 in the Six Nations, if you're just tuning in. And they got the bonus point as well. Two tries from Andrew Conway, one from Bundiaki, one from Gary Ringrose. Jeff Hendrick has come off the bench for QPR today. Shane Keegan, he's on loan from Newcastle. They're high up in the Championship, but they're losing to Peterborough in the FA Cup. All about game time for Jeff Hendrick, because he wasn't getting it under Eddie Howe.
100%, yeah. Really, really important move for our hopes, John, really, because he's a player who's kind of really come to the fore over the last 18 months. He's probably a fella that, to a certain extent, I nearly would have been writing off. You felt that there was unfulfilled potential there for a long time, and it looked as though that potential was never going to be filled. And arguably at club level, it still hasn't been. But in an Ireland jersey, he's been as good as anybody, really, over the last few games. He's, you know, consistently performing very, very, very well. But it's very hard to do that. You know, it'd be very hard just to pop up kind of in the international games 6 months apart and play consistently well if you're not getting regular football. So it was brilliant to see him get out of there and put himself in a position. Hopefully, look, it's the fact that he's new in there is hopefully the only reason he found himself on the bench today. Hopefully with a bit more training, he'd be hoping he'd become a nailed-on starter there.
Nice story from the week, Graham. Cathal Heffernan to AC Milan with the help of Stephen Ireland. Of course, it's the son of Rob and Marion, the famous athletes. Is this a similar transfer to Kevin De Zeffie's in your view?
No, I don't think it is, no. I think Zeffi's one is different in that Inter Milan have committed to Zeffi in that they've given him a longer term contract. I think this looks great in terms of another Irish player going to a big club. I think it's all heavily weighed in Milan's favour in terms of it seems to me like it's a bit of an extended sort of trial period for the kid that there's no guarantees after the loan that AC Milan are going to say, right, we'll take him. So he's going to go there till the summer and see what happens and see how he settles. And if something doesn't go right, he doesn't have any safety net here, that he has to settle quick and hit the ground running. And there's a lot of pressure on them 6 months then. And I think that's a little bit unfair on a 17-year-old to have to do that. So I want to be positive about it, because I think it's great that, like you said, an Irish player gets to go to play for a great club like AC Milan. I think we need to put more value in the player as well, to go and maybe say, listen, he's on a pro deal at Cork. If you really want him, you really want to commit to him, it has to be longer than it has to be a guarantee that after the loan deal you are gonna buy the player. So that's a little bit of a red flag for me, coming looking at it from that point of view, that what's to stop AC Milan this summer just saying thanks but no thanks, and then the kid has a bit of a come down then to come back to Ireland in the summer. I'm just thinking worst case scenario. Obviously best case scenario, he hits the ground running, he does really well and AC Milan take him on, and hopefully that's the case. I really want him to do well.
Okay, well, the best luck to Cathal Heffernan there when his Italy journey begins. Moon Coyne have beaten Batty Giblin in that AIB Junior Hurling All-Ireland final in the club scene. So 22 points for Moon Coyne, 118 for Batty Giblin, a one-point victory in that final. And I'm not going to say they should be singing the Rose of Moon Coyne, because I'm sure they are. The Intermediate Club Hurling final at 5 o'clock throws in Naismith Kildare against Kilmoyley of Kerry at Croke Park. So plenty of action there in Gaelic Games. Also, just give you the result here of the Antrim-Limerick game. So Limerick beating Antrim by 2-9 to 11 points in the Allianz League there in the football. That is in Division 3. Kerry against Dublin throws in at 7 o'clock. We're just finishing off here with Laro, Graham Gartland and Shane Keegan. A couple of stories from the week just to finish off. Laro, Honduras took a couple of players off at halftime against the USA in their World Cup qualifying because it was too cold in Minnesota. They lost 3-0, minus 16 degrees. tights, gloves, some wore balaclavas. I'm just trying to think back, Laura, you must have played in some extreme conditions, either heat or snow when you were a footballer, when it was a tougher game, Laura, back then.
Listen, you would have said to them, run around a little bit more, it makes you warmer. Yeah, you played in all sorts of conditions. Obviously, I remember once at Sunderland, I don't even know how we started the game. It was rock hard, it was icy, and then it started snowing. And of course, straight away, we're on at the ref. After like 10, 15, 20 minutes, someone's going to get hurt, someone's going to break their arm, all those kind of things. And Sunderland wanted it because they were near the bottom. And obviously, it levelled things up because you just couldn't play. And in the end, the ref bowed to the pressure at half-time and abandoned the game. But look, you know, you deal with it, don't you? What more can you say? Nobody ever complains when it's really hot, do they?
No, we never should play those games, the 94 World Cup. That was just an absolute travesty. We'd no chance.
No one complained. Steve Staunton complained, and John Aldridge actually threw a wobbler on the side of the pitch. So there was a few complaints there, Laura.
John, boys, I was co-commentating for the BBC, and I was in my trunks. It was that hot. By the way, I was at the back of the stadium, so no one could actually see.
Yeah, well, that's thankfully...
But listen, they weren't budgie snugglers, but they were a grade up from them, to be fair.
the heat, Laura, that must have been, what, 40 degrees at midday?
Oh, it was absolutely just, not even so much the heat, John, the humidity.
You
look at all the Stan Staunton wanted the lighthead boys. I mean, they should have all been allowed to play in caps. Jack had a cap on, didn't he? Morris, I think,
The fact we played Mexico as well, that they were used to it. All tanned and olive oil skin and they're great, looking great. And then their pasty gingers walk out. No offence, Shane, sorry. And this isn't going to go well.
Yeah. But also, it was just after lunchtime, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember it well. Effectively, the World Cup ended at the Giants Stadium, really, for Ireland that year.
Yeah, of course.
Shane, did you have any extreme weather experiences in the League of Ireland?
You get some fairly frosty nights, all right. And I'll tell you, you'd be better, even if you are in jersey and a shorts, you're better off on the pitch running around and getting stuck in than you are standing on the sideline absolutely freezing your arse off, I'll tell you that. I'd rather be the lads out in the field, but yeah, you can get some fairly bad ones. There was one, it's probably two seasons ago now, Graham, is it? Remember, Murph took Galway United across to play Shamrock Rovers. And it was real extreme conditions that day, I think. I think there was actually a couple of them passed out of hospital after, didn't
That's
they?
That's it, yeah. One of our centre-back, Cole, ended up in hospital with hypothermia. Yeah, you're right, yeah. You took him it took him 6 months to come around. Right. Really bad. He was, yeah, seriously, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we shouldn't laugh. 53106, hey lads, I've got two Arsenal tattoos. Yes, I got them young, but still proud of them. And only last week brought my six-year-old son to his first game against Burnley, writes Killian and Swords. We were talking about Shane Keegan's tattoo, the Celtic tattoo, that he definitely regrets having, putting his armour a bit earlier on. FA Cup scores, we have... Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1 full time, Kidderminster 1, West Ham 2 a full time, Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0, Everton 3, Brentford 1. These are latest scores. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0, Manchester City 4, Fulham 1 is the latest score. Peterborough 2, QPR 0, Southampton 1, Coventry 1, Stoke 2, Tenman, Wigan 0, and Wolves 0, Norwich 1. A boost for Adam Eda, who's started today for Norwich against Wolves. 5:30, Cambridge against Luton. And also Spurs against Brighton is an 8:00 start in the FA Cup. In the Scottish Premiership, Dundee 1, Ross County 2, Hibernian 0, St Mirren 1, Livingston 2, Aberdeen 1, and St Johnstone 0, Dundee United 0. Ireland 29, Wales 7 was a score in the rugby from a bit earlier on. And the Scotland-England game has just kicked off at Murrayfield in the Six Nations Championship. That's what's going on. We also had the story as well during the week, just to finish off, lads, about Roberto Carlos. An English Sunday League team, Bull in the Barn United, won a raffle on eBay to have Roberto Carlos play for them for one game, the former World Cup winner with Brazil. Which player, past or present, would you most like to play on your team in a Sunday League game?
We spoke about this last week about our heroes.
Paul McGrath's yours.
Paul McGrath was mine, yeah. But in terms of probably be Maradona.
Maradona.
I just thought... like just to see the stuff that he done, and even the small little clips to think, like I think I'm not sure if Mark.
Laura, did you play against Maradona in the late 70s, early 80s?
No, we were. I think I can't remember what year it was, but we were due to play. Had we played in the European Cup final or something? I think we missed out the Liverpool boys.
Right.
But in terms of who I mine would be, Sir Tom Finney.
Oh, okay. Preston.
Oh, Preston. Yeah, you played at Preston, didn't you?
You know, my dad played with him. Obviously, being born in Preston and all those kind of things, he was absolutely brilliant. He played when it was 2-3-5 formation. Apparently, he played all five formations across at the forward line, both for Preston and for England. He dribbled with his left foot down the right wing. It was unheard of. And he'd swap over and dribble with his right foot down the left wing. And my dad said, just honestly, unbelievable. Great in the air. He was only about 5'8". So it would be Sir Tom. And it's in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, he would be 100. Someone was telling me yesterday.
Did you play with Johnny Giles, Laurel?
Yeah, he gave me my debut, Gilesy.
Because my dad used to speak about him quite a lot, about how two-footed he was and how he always looked forward and played forward. And I was talking to the lads last week about just watching videos of him when he was younger. And a lot of the highlights you see was always goals, leads scored off of his pass or the pass before that. And was he that good?
Vision was fantastic. And he had a nasty streak in the best possible way. He was two-footed as a footballer and two-footed as a footballer, if you get my meaning.
And also very much a forward thinker, Laura. When he brought you in, you know, it was... he was ahead of his time, I felt, as an Ireland manager.
Well, to be fair, on my debut, I think we only had about 14 players. So I actually travelled over. I played the night before, the day before for Preston. And flew over with the referee of the match, Bob Mathewson, I think his name was, and we played Poland. And Gilesy didn't really know who I was, in all honesty, because Kelly, Alan Kelly, Jibber, he'd sorted it all out. But it was great. Loved him. Loved playing with him. It's fab because he wanted you to play, which was great.
Shane, your Sunday League player?
Peak early 90s Gaza.
Gaza.
How enjoyable would that be? Just give him the ball and sit back and watch him dribble off around half the team and stick it in the top corner. He'd be some entertainment value.
You can't be that big a Celtic man. You can't be that big a Celtic man and pick Gaza.
Yeah, John.
Early 90s.
Just a line on Gaza. Lineker, when they were at Tottenham, would always say to you, he only ever passed to Lineker when he couldn't score.
Yeah. No, Gascoigne was before the knee injury. I think the knee injury.
Would you have had Gaza ahead of Hoddle? Who's yours? Who would you pick?
Hoddle.
Oh, Maradona, I'd pick Maradona. Maradona's the best player ever. I know people will argue for Messi or for Pele and that, but Maradona's the best player I've ever seen.
Maradona was handier, wasn't he?
Yeah, very good, Laura. Gaza, I saw Gaza before the World Cup in 1990 and he ran the whole game against Man United with Lineker and Gascoigne. So there's just, Gaza, yes, but Gaza was there at the peak for a shorter period of time, whereas Hoddle was there for that Spurs for 12 years, you know, and different type of footballer. Hoddle was more of an artist, a kind of a creative midfield force. Gaza was more of almost like a box-to-box engine of power, you know. So we got to leave it there, unfortunately. Laura and Shane, thanks very much for the Football Saturday today.
Thank you.
Great stuff, guys.
Thanks, lads.
Graham, thank you.
Pleasure, John.
Great to have you in again on Football Saturday. And thanks for listening, folks, this afternoon. Just give you some updates just before we go on the FA Cup. We had that win for Kidderminster, losing to West Ham. As my screen goes, so 2-1 for West Ham against Kidderminster earlier on. Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1, a full time. Crystal Palace 2, Hartlepool 0 at latest. Everton have beaten Brentford 4-1. Huddersfield 1, Barnsley 0 is a full time score. Manchester City have beaten Fulham 4-1 to go into the fifth round. Peterborough 2, QPR 0 is the latest. Southampton 1, Coventry 1 is the latest. Stoke 2, Wigan 0, and Wolves 0. Norwich 1. So these are scores from the FA Cup coming through. Just to let you know, we're back 1-7 tomorrow on Off the Ball. The Sunday paper review, Gavin Casey and Rory O'Connor, and Fiona Hayes and Darren Cave also reflecting on Ireland's Six Nations win over Wales. A feature interview with the former Waterford senior hurling boss, Derek McGrath, will also reflect on the Dublin Racing Festival, the 2 days of it with Johnny Ward. We'll also bring you as well the latest from the Allianz National Football League. So be sure to join us tomorrow for some great conversations and updates. If you missed any of the OTB Football Saturday show with Mark Lawrenson, Shane Keegan and Graeme Gartland, you can find a podcast on the OTB Sports app and wherever you get your pods. Just a word as well about our podcast, folks. Aware of technical issues, we're working on them. Apologies for any glitches you may be experiencing. Please hit automatic download in your settings to enjoy uninterrupted playback. We're back tomorrow. Thank you.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20, code pod20, for 20% off your first product.